Bennifer is back. Brad and Jen are friends again. And Paris Hilton is somehow still making headlines. 20 years later, we're living in the world that the 2000s tabloids created. On this series, I'm going to tell you the story of a decade of American life through the trash we love to consume. From Spotify and the Ringer Podcast Network, I'm Claire Malone, and this is Just Like Us, the tabloids that changed America. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. I'm here with my pal for a mid-season check-in, Jared Freed. Hi, Jared.
So good to be back here. Hi, how are you? Great to see you.
thank you.
As we just had a 30-minute conversation, but I just want to say happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
To the people out there. Everyone, the listeners love you. I've had a few listeners come to the shows that I've done around this great country of ours, and they are such fans of you, and I want to let them know. Let Juliette Littman know. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Today is, in fact, my birthday. We were just talking about age and what it means to be the age that we are. Jared's birthday's on Sunday. Happy birthday to you, man.
It's on Monday, but thank you. Monday. I appreciate it. I don't age me. So yeah, and I'm almost exactly a year older than you. So I can tell you,
this next year
of your life will be beautiful and wonderful.
It's like in Clueless when Cher's like, "Ty, when's your birthday?" And she's like, "May." She's like, "Well, my birthday's in April." So as an older person, let me tell you, you're the Cher Horowitz to my Ty. I don't know Ty's last name, but R.I.P. Brittany Murphy.
That's right.
Isn't that sad?
It's very sad.
I basically lost Stacey Dash too, so it's just really hard.
Yeah, that movie was cursed, except for Cher.
It was.
And Paul Rudd. Maybe Paul Rudd like drank the youth out of the life out of everyone.
Yeah.
To become what he is today. But she's a star that passed that you. Like, I don't think of Brittany Murphy every day, but then you go, oh my God, yeah, that's sad. Like,
yeah, big time.
Because they live on in these movies and they look so, these movies live in my brain. And
of course,
you see
that's great.
With life.
I think we did Clueless Rewatchables. I think it was one of the first we did. Go and check it out on Spotify. Jared, I'm glad we're talking about age, because that was a main focus of this week's episode.
Which
honestly made me uncomfortable. I will say, I think if you've been listening to this podcast, it's pretty apparent that I'm quite judgmental. One thing that I definitely become less judgmental of with my own age is like judging people's age. And Mara, she's not doing any favors to us people in our 30s. It's like It's like fine to be in your 30s. It's great, actually. In some ways, it's better than your 20s. But also your 20s are great. But that's irrelevant to like girlfriend versus wife material.
Yeah, she... It is so amazing how little she's aware of that we can see her insecurities so easily. Like, she doesn't seem to realize she like how she sounds. Like, she can, you know, even when she's like, she does this like passive aggressive mom thing, and not to make her a mom, but like, it's like what moms do with their kids. Well, she'd be like, yeah, I hope they have fun. Not too much fun. You know, like she's just like, you could tell like this whole age thing has
diseased her.
It is such a thing for her. And I think I always thought being in the bachelor house, that would be hard.
Being older.
Like being older in that house just would generally be hard. Like, if I went today and stayed in a house with someone who's 24 years old, it would like how are you going to compete with someone who could go to Vegas and sleep on the floor and be like, yeah, I'll just sleep on the floor.
Right.
Like a 24 year old can do that. I at 37 on Monday would literally like turn down, be like, no, what are you, crazy? Right? You know what I mean? Like, you just live differently at 24 than you do 32 even. And there's just, and so I can understand where it gets in your head, but she sounds bad.
Yeah. And I can see where it gets in your head as well, but also just to target Sarah so specifically as like
the youngest.
When Sarah also seems like really sweet. Although I did like when Sarah's like claws came out and she was pissed. Like, sure. Anger is not an emotion we see enough of on this show. And I think in some ways it's the most universal emotion, but like, because a lot of people channel other stuff into anger. And so I was like, I was really into seeing her be angry because it's also like a more empowered feeling sometimes too. It's like, well, it's not like I'm helpless, Sarah. It's like, anger has more agency than just like sorrow, I think. And I liked seeing that actually.
You couldn't be more right because I had the opposite feeling with Genevieve on the date with Shanae. With Shanae, I was like done with by the time she was done. But like, I wanted Genevieve to be like, you suck. Yeah. Like I want, and she was like trembling and trying to be classy and trying to keep up. And it's like, no, I want you to be angry at this person who's attacking you and calling you an actress. Like, why? And I was getting mad at Genevieve for not getting mad. Right. Yeah. So, you know, like I wanted
I know.
That.
And it's like, I'm curious how Clayton, and let's talk about Clayton. I'm curious how he would respond to different emotions because he can't respond to conflict at all. And I'm actually not sure that he can respond to anything.
Nothing.
That's not just like fun. Like it's just sort of like Six Flags fun.
He is a blank slate. Every time someone opens up to him, he has the same face. He'd be great at poker. That guy never changes his expression. He is always just one look, and it's like, you know, I'd say Clayton, I relate to Clayton in my most animalistic ways.
Well,
like Clayton is.
I just want to say,
go ahead.
I like Clayton, even though he doesn't have emotional range. I like him, and he's been talking a lot in the press about how this has been like a really hard experience for him because he's like getting so much negativity. And I suppose saying he doesn't have any emotional range is like a negative mean thing to say, but it's also true. But moreover, I'm just like, what do people not like about Clayton? Like, why are people being so mean about him? Like, I think he seems like a genuinely good guy.
I can tell you, I mean, I just said I related to him in a way because I could tell you Clayton is a guy like, the way he's dating these women, I can see would be enraging to the other side where they're like, fun guy, you know, ready, down for anything, smiley, good looking. But he has this thing, he has foggy cum brain. Like he is, you could tell the
foggy cum brain?
Yes, foggy cum
brain. Oh my God, gross.
I'm sorry, but you could see that his penis leads all decisions. You can just see it. And it seems like a real person. That's why Clayton, like, I think he's being put face to face in the mirror of like, oh, like I act before I think.
I'm just really stuck on this foggy cum brain situation.
Foggy cum
brain. Is that a phrase that many people are familiar with, or is that a proprietary Jared Friedism?
I don't want to own it. That's not necessarily something I want on my my tombstone.
On your LinkedIn, like, Jared Fried, creator of this phrase, foggy cum brain.
Foggy cum
brain. So disgusting.
It's disgusting, but you know, we leave these parts out of the dating conversation because they are icky sometimes. And there's this, like, you know, and I don't believe in it. Like, I'm not saying it could be blamed when in the situation. You can't like look at a woman and be like, oh, I had foggy cum brain. Sorry. You know, sorry we had sex and I just like you, but I don't want to marry you. You know what I mean? Like, but I think this guy thinks with his penis is really my, and he, you could just see, like, I don't think he's doing it. I don't think it's like plotted. I think he just goes as it comes. And like, even the way, like, I'll give you an example. Susie surprises him and with that note.
He was happy. He was so happy. He was like, yes, and I don't know that I've ever felt happiness like that before.
And I saw that reaction. I knew exactly what happened. He didn't, he thinks Susie's fucking hot is what it is. He's attracted to Susie. Him and Susie haven't gotten to talk much. I think they got like maybe one interaction, a couple interactions, and he's sitting there because what you hear from a lot of the leads of the show is like, you know, if you talk to them like in kind of privately, they all kind of have this thing of like, you don't connect with everybody, but you have a few that you're like, keep an eye, you know, right away that you're like, I'm attracted to them and I want to talk to them more, but you have to do the show. So you don't like, you kind of have to like suss through a lot of, you know, like, other things to get to the people that you kind of want to talk to. And it felt like he was being surprised by someone that he'd made eye contact with a bar that finally was like, yeah, I kind of have the same thing for you. That reaction was just so extreme. And I'm like, it had to have been that. And it's like, I think that was his penis just being like, yes, yes, the one we like.
It's like so grossing me out. That's why I like having you on the pod. It's like always like reminds me of the other perspective of this. I'm like, oh, right. Because I think last year we talked about Teddy and how he did we talk about this on the pod or was it just a conversation we had off mic where you were like, he can't pick Teddy. He doesn't want to. He can't. It's like too much pressure.
There's no way he picks Teddy. And did you see his reaction?
We talked a lot about this, Callie and I, on Monday. I don't really know what he should have done in that situation. Like, here's what he didn't do, what I was glad about. He wasn't like, I need to step away. I need to take a break. Because that's his go-to move when he's overwhelmed. And thank God he didn't do that in this case, the situation. That's like...
He stands and stares at the woods. he's looking to nature for answers. Yeah, he does that a lot.
Oh my God, I want to read you a quote that I came across on the internet today. Okay. Here's the quote. It is... I'm not going to tell you who said it. You have to take a guess. Okay. It was a difficult time for me, and it was a time where I really needed to take a step back. Could it be Clayton? Spoiler alert, it wasn't Clayton. It was Lewis Hamilton, the greatest F1 driver of all time. Lewis, like, took a break from the internet or from, like, everything after he was robbed of a 8th championship. And his full quote was, I never ever said I was going to stop. I love doing what I do. It was a difficult time for me, and it's a time where I really needed to take a step back. I saw that and I was like, that's just like Clayton. He like
that is
when confronted with controversy, he just needs to take a step back. I need to step away for a minute. That's what he says.
Clayton would see that quote and be like, oh, I should be saying that. Like, he wouldn't know to say it that well.
I'm gonna screenshot that, keep it in my pocket for the future. Yeah.
Right? I gotta rehearse it. The Teddy thing, I thought the only, like, when he got litigious. Like, he literally was like, he's like, well, explain that. Like, what is love to you? Before, when do you have sex? Like, you could tell.
Was he doing that as a path forward to, like, create a way to have a conversation? Or was he doing that to, like, suss out if sex was on the table for them? Like, was it a rhetorical crutch? Or was he fact-finding?
I think he was fact-finding. I think he was trying to figure out what this sex... I actually think he didn't understand if she was actually a virgin. She said in as clear as words as you could ever say, she goes, I am a virgin. And then she went into this like, I want to, you know, but now my feelings on virginity, which her feelings are totally understandable. Where she's like, you know, it started as one thing and it became another thing where like, now I just want to like have sex with like someone I love and I want it to be real and whatever. And you go, okay. But then he comes back at her and he's like, so have you been in love? Do you know what love is? It was like,
it's pretty weird.
It was like, it was pretty weird. And to me, the only answer for him that would have been, if I was to be
coaching him,
you know, Cyrano in his ear, you know, I would have been like, hey, say to her, I respect your decision totally, but we're not going to be a match because I make decisions differently than I make decisions in a different way. And my relationship to sex is different than yours. And both are fine, but I don't think we're going to be a match. I think that's but that's a really hard thing to say. Like, I'm giving him words that would be hard.
I also think that's like, I think that would be hurtful to her because it's like
but why? To me, it's like, you know, what you want is something that I can't give you because you could see, I mean, like, I don't know if Clayton knows this, but it seems as though sex is a part of his decision and not something that comes from his decision, mm-hmm. you know? And, but maybe I'm saying that because I know you know, he says I've been intimate with a few of you and that
right.
maybe I'm saying that because I know that.
Do you
already.
Think that's one of, do you think that he sleeps with her? I think probably not.
I can't believe if he's got to have some real issues on the internet if that's what he does.
Which I also don't think he should. Like, if she's like, I am interested in having sex with you, like, fine. And then knowing that she may not be the one, like, I don't know. The reason I think that answer would be rough is because she's telling him, I think, because she feels like she has to. And also to open up the path to, like, maybe sleeping with Clayton. Like, I think that she's trying to not rule it out. But she also like wants to be honest.
Fair.
And so then your response would rule it out. Just being like, because you haven't, I am saying we cannot. It's nothing to do with decision making. It's just like, it would be like, I'm freaked out by the fact that I'd be your first. No, thank you.
Well, I that's a hard thing. That is how it could be received. I would say, and I do think this is like, you know, working your way to maturity a little bit. Like, my point to her, if she was like, well, you think, you know, if that was her response, my response would be like, well, no, I don't, you know, I can't see myself falling in love with someone that I haven't had sex with.
Right.
Been physical with.
Right, right.
You know, and so then how could I have sex with someone who's told me that love is a part of their contract?
It's like an order of operations problem. It's like, you need love first. I need sex first. And I respect both, by the way. Like, there's no judgment on that.
I need intimacy first. It doesn't even have to be sex. I need, you know.
He should have been like, well, what about blowjobs? Where does that stand?
Yeah, well, that's, I did see that, like, cranking through his head. Like, just like, so are we talking about ball play? You know, like, it's like, but I don't think that she lasts, you know.
You think she's going soon?
But I think that conversation kind of changes everything. I mean, like,
he seemed to cool off on her immediately when she told him. I felt bad for her, but also
I don't feel bad for her. Like, this is the thing about dating. It's like, people are like, oh, cause I revealed information about myself, I've lost someone. It's like, no, cause you revealed information about yourself, you have figured out that they're not your match. Like, you know, and I guess that's a hard, sometimes when I talk about dating, like, I'm giving the thing that like is the hardest thing to
You're
like
tough
do.
Love.
And also I'm saying things that I wish I was brave enough to say, you know, like like with Clayton, that's why I'm like, this guy's doing the best he can. And as we know it today, you know, like, I'm with you. Like, he doesn't seem like a mean guy.
No, not at all. I do really like him. Like, I don't think Clayton's definitely not a match for me. But like, he is, Callie and I talk about this, he is the type of person where you're like, if your friend's like, I'm dating Clayton, like, you're not like horrified. You're like, okay, I'd like to get to know him. Tell me about him. Or like, cool, he seems like a nice guy. Like,
totally.
He seems genuine. I think one thing that's interesting, and maybe I'm just like making this up, but of all of the leads, both bachelors and bachelorettes, I think he has spoken about his own dating history the absolute least. And so I'm like, okay, so Teddy hasn't had sex, but like, has Clayton ever been in love? She should have asked him. She should have flipped it on him. But like, well, what about you, dude? Because
yeah,
I get the impression that like one of the reasons he was like so happy to see Susie with his foggy cum brain. Is that what it's called?
Foggy cum brain.
It's because he hasn't had the opportunity to like date a lot, like let alone like sleep with a lot of women, but just like date a lot. Like, I feel like this is like, he doesn't like the conflict because the dating portion of it is like actually so fun, like tantalizing for him.
Well, I think he is of the age of, you know, the to me, like, this is hookup generation. Like, I think he is full on. He dates very basically. He's very basic dater. Like, which seems mean, but like, I knew it the minute he said to Rachel, "How are you still single?" Basically, is what he says to her on the date, which is like, really basic. Everyone hates that. That is a basic.
Tayshia used to say that a lot. Like, she said it to a lot of the guys. Like, why are you still single? And it's like, fuck you, bitch. And it's Clayton. Fuck
you. Why are you still single?
Fuck you, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why are you here?
Yeah. Why the fuck are you here? And he says that, but it's a question that people really don't like. And if you've been on enough dates, you realize that, like, it's not a good question. It's not, it doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't get you to know
also,
someone.
Like, the answer could be, well, I had one 15-year relationship. We met when we were really young and we evolved into different people. Or the answer could be because I have emotional difficulties that like with committing people. Or it could be like, because I had some like really serious trauma. Like, there are so many answers, none of which could possibly be satisfying to that question. Like, it's just like, it's not a question that, it's a rhetorical question. It shouldn't be answered. But when you ask it point blank to someone in like a sort of one-on-one setting, they have no choice but to answer.
Yeah. And that's where I realized like, oh, Clayton's hooked up a lot. He's never been really dating.
Yeah.
Like, you get a lot of, there's a TikTok out there talking about how like he matched with a ton of people on dating apps. Like,
oh, really?
Like, he's been around the dating apps. Yeah. But like, I think he was on there to hook up, which is, you know, that's his right. But I don't think he's been in a
position. Aren't 50% of the people on dating apps there to hook up? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But that's an option of the reason someone's on there. Like, so I don't hate on him for that, but I do think he is someone who's never taken, like, I gotta find someone serious.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
Listen, I told you before we started taping that like I'm turning 37 on Monday and I'm counting, like, if I get serious with someone today, how many years until I'm actually like, I'm like actually thinking about, like, you know, how many years until I'm married and, you know, like, oh, I'm going to be an old dad. Like, Clayton has never had those thoughts. That has never crossed his mind. And not because he's a bad person, but because he just is. It's just, and I relate to him on that level. Like, I've been 27 and
just here for like, fun.
Whatever. Yeah, here to hang. And I think when you go on The Bachelor, and this is why they should cast older men, I think, when you're on The Bachelor, you are on a daily basis put to face with your future. which I don't think he's ever really
right.
done.
Yeah, you're like forced to cast forward, where like if you were dating in real life,
yes,
you can like cast forward as much or as little as you want. And usually the relationships where you don't, I think, work out better yeah. because you're just like, day to time, see how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, it's very, let's very hang, hard not whatever. To if you're a planner like me. so I don't know. The Teddy thing is really tough just because I don't know that he could have handled it much better on television. I think that she seems really classy and has like carried herself with total aplomb. And I like her. I hope this hasn't been like a scarring experience. I could see where like burying yourself on TV like that could be really hard. So I give her a lot of credit.
Well, I thought she brought it up in like I the most like as far as like, you know, on You Up podcast, we get a lot of questions like, when do I tell someone about this thing about me? And it doesn't have to be, it can be virginity, it can be anything about you. I thought the way she played it is the way you play it. She felt comfortable enough with him. They've already had an interaction. She said, this is the time for me to reveal. And again, on The Bachelor, as you said, you're right. They're forced because time is sped yeah. up, you know? So she, but this to me, like the way she brought it up was like, this is yeah. me. And Anne had good reasons and, you know, was reasonable about it. Like, I you know, it was kind of a lesson in, like, hey, I trust you enough to bring this up now. And, like, someone was like, was it too late? And I'm like, no. She doesn't have to, like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm a virgin. Like, that's not, he has
hey,
no right to
Colton,
that information.
I'm Teddy the Virgin this season. I will say one thing about the show, which, you know, slowly is evolving. I do like this storyline versus like Ashley I or even Colton. Like it wasn't sensationalized and Teddy's sort of been in the background for the last like 4 weeks, which mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Like we heard about that at first and then this is part of like her bachelor identity. Maybe it's part of her real life identity for her too. Who knows? But I do appreciate that it like wasn't turned into like a crazy storyline and like they leaned into Shanae versus like, what will he do when he finds out about Teddy? So that's to me
totally.
Is like narrative evolution for the show. So so at least they're
the bar is
very low,
low
bar, yeah. but I do like yeah. to acknowledge progress when I see it. So that's a positive.
Yes. You're right. And I mean, the Shanae thing, what did you think of the Shanae thing? Did you enjoy it? What was...
Shanae? Did I enjoy Shanae? No.
Yeah.
I think she filled time. She filled space. She gave everyone something to hate and a talking point. Clearly, there's not much without Shanae because we're now halfway through the season and she's gone. Like only yeah. like now. And I think I've lost track of where we are because they're off cycle at the rose ceremonies, which is super annoying.
It is annoying.
But, you know, he's talking about hometowns. I mean, he basically told Rachel that she's going to hometown, so.
Well, that was back to, like, he basically told Rachel, you're going to hometown. It's like, you could tell he really wants. That was another thing that was, like, him. This is a first season where I felt like The Bachelor was making sure people were as into him as he was into them.
But that, like, which is smart, which is, like, one. That's, like, good idea, Clayton. Yes, his name Clayton.
Yeah.
Good idea, dude.
Clayton. I've switched him up with Colton
Me
so
too.
Many times. It's
so
crazy.
So much. But yeah, it's I don't know. Like I feel like he's actually thinking about the future much more than other bachelors, but how many weeks till hometowns? I gotta figure it out. It's probably like two or three, not very far off.
I think they're gonna spend a lot of time on this. I've been intimate with all of
yeah,
you.
So,
story.
So who do you think are the people in that category? Like who are your
So my guesses are Rachel, Susie, and Sarah.
So no Gabby for you?
No.
I could see you being into Gabby. Are you into Gabby?
Gabby's cool. I love that she's taken on the quirky thing to a point where it's like, she has some facial. I mean, her on the ground with the dog made me laugh. Every time they announce her name, she makes like this wild facial expression. I've enjoyed her presence, and her voice is just a lot for me. It's
I know like the voice is wild. I do like her a
she
lot.
She sounds
though.
Like I like her. She sounds like the mom in American Dad.
I've never seen that, but okay. I don't do animation, but I support everyone who does.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the one that self eliminates? That he's like, I was in love with her. And blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I didn't even know that was happening.
I think so. I think as part of that speech, it's like, I was intimate in both of you. And he also says, and I was in love with her and also intimate with her, something like that.
Oh, I
Because the girl, the woman who's like lying on the steps crying is clearly Rachel. I think we can assume that now. So
yeah, I thought at first it was Susie, but you're right. It's Rachel. And I don't know who that would be. They've done a great job editing, playing this like this like shell game with the editing. Cause like I'm still unsure, but like I thought, yeah, I think Mara gets a quick exit soon because she just seems like she's on her last leg. And then I don't know. Who do you think?
So Mara's got to go. I mean, I've been saying for a long time, my final four are Sarah, Rachel, Susie, and Teddy. But maybe, okay. But maybe now I think Gabby and not Teddy, because I just think that he responded like with so much nervousness to the conversation with Teddy. Mm-hmm. So I think that the person who self-eliminates is maybe Sarah. If he's not picking Rachel, I just think that I would be very, very surprised. Rachel getting two in a row group date roses is like a really big deal after she got the one-on-one as well. Like, he's really fucking into Rachel. The only thing about this, though, is like knowing how this show works, the fact that he's allowed to give her those roses almost indicates to me that she doesn't win in the end because it would be too obvious. But
interesting.
So maybe she leaves and that's the one who self-eliminates. And it comes down to like Sarah and Susie or something like that. But
Rachel seems very into him too.
Yeah.
And she does this weird thing where when they talk, she'll only whisper.
Yeah, I hate the whispering. I've talked about it extensively. I hate whispering. Hate. When I think about the moments when I've been like drunk and whisper,
yeah.
I just want to kill myself. I just like, I wish I could. I've been talking a lot about with my colleagues how I wish that the neuralizer pen from Men in Black was real, where I could use it on myself. I don't want to use it on other people, but like I wish, yes, I could like cut things out of my memory. And it's often like meetings I wish I hadn't attended, but also I'm like, oh God, that time when I whispered. I hate whispering if it's not about like making sure you don't wake someone. Well, that's the only time whispering is acceptable for secrets and for keeping people asleep.
Sexy whisper. Yeah, the sexy whisper.
It doesn't exist.
And it's what she's,
it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. And she's trying to pull it off. It's like this like very like, it's almost like she's trying to be like almost precious. I don't know what's the word for it, but it's very
like cute.
I don't know what it's. I think it's the attempt at cute that makes me cringe. Like, it's like I know you're attempting something. I don't know what it is. And I know this is some sort of like, but then I can't look away from
it.
Like, and every single time it's like her move.
I know. It's really like just so disgusting. I can't. It's like I like Rachel, but the sexy whispering grosses me out to no end. I just like can't even get past it. But I don't know. I will say, like, just in general, I think this has been a good season. Callie and I've been talking about that a lot too. Like, we're like, yeah, this is good, and like we like Clayton.
Good season.
Yeah.
And it moves.
I know.
It moves. We don't. There's been no lag to this season.
It's like you know the song "I'll Make a Man Out of You" from Mulan?
I don't.
There's a line with all the force of a raging river. It's just like that. Moves just like that. I have to say, we're going to wrap up. But I just want to say,
sure,
if you also like this kind of show, fucking watch Love is Blind on Netflix. Season 2. Season 1 was good. It was a sensation. I didn't love it. I'm very into season 2. I've gotten many of my colleagues into it. We're recapping it over on the Ringer Reality TV podcast. It's a group of me, Amelia Wedemeyer, and Kevin O'Connor. He's out on loan, soccer style, from the Ringer NBA and Mismatch World. And it's just like such a riveting show.
Is the full season out, or is it?
As of today,
are they doing
9 of 10 are available. The finale comes next week, and then there's a reunion after. So I don't like to binge, so I think this is great how Netflix does this with their reality shows. And it's just so good. It is so entertaining. We have so many questions here at The Ringer. We're trying to sort them out, but watch the show on Netflix and then head to The Ringer Reality TV podcast to listen to our recaps. It's really fun stuff.
Is this what I should do on my birthday? Yeah. Just go live stream the whole thing?
You know, Jared, I'm...
How long are each episode?
Like an hour, but like a great time.
Okay.
It's not like... Doesn't lag.
It moves. Like the Mulan River.
Yes, and also there's a lot of people in it, so like it's not too much time with anyone. There's a few standouts, obviously. Also, since your birthday is coming up, I know there can be a lot of pressure to like do a lot of stuff on your birthdays, and I just want to let you know that I'm reading a book right now called This Time Next Year by Sophie Cousins, and the two main characters, the part of the book is they share a birthday, and they both choose to sleep through their 30th birthday. So if you don't, if you're not celebrating your birthday and you just want to like conk out, me and Sophie Cousins, we support you.
Well, thank you. And listen, you have a great day planned.
Thanks.
For your birthday. I'm excited
Thanks
for you.
Thanks so That's much.
And birthday on a Friday, what a blessing.
Totally.
What a beautiful thing.
Just like ride it into the weekend, feel some good vibes.
Right. Yeah, this is a good year coming for you. Birthday on a Monday, not so much.
Holiday Monday.
Listen, oh, it's a holiday. I don't celebrate.
On that note,
not my president. No,
I love it. Well, in years past, I was at All-Star Weekend. Michael Jordan's birthday was yesterday. We're birthday duo. He comes on the 17th and I'm on the 18th. We're kind of a package deal.
And Tiger Woods is right around now.
Is he?
It's like great athletes are right around.
I think
this
Charles
time.
Barkley is right. I think Charles Barkley is the 20th. So we're in good company. Tiger Woods
That's
is,
right.
I will tell you, on, he's December 30th. You're way off.
I am way off. Maybe it was Charles Barkley.
I think LeBron is also December 30th, actually.
LeBron.
He's December 30th.
Yeah. Okay.
On that note, thank you to Erica Cervantes for producing this episode. Thank you to Jared Fried for joining me. Find more of Jared on his Instagram, where he does a live stream every Monday night, whether he likes it or not.
That's right.
You can also find him on the Betches Bachelor podcast, The Bachelor, and the U Up Pod, also with Betches. So tons of Jared if you're into that kind of thing.
I never shut the fuck up, but I am so happy to come on with you, Juliet, and happy birthday, and thank you so much for
having me. Thank you. Talk to you all soon. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.